Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers, Text 52. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Prahlada Bhadra Bhadra Te Pritoham Te Sarotama Vara Vrenishvabhimatam Kama Purosmi Aham Nrinam. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Prahlada Bhadra Bhadram Te Pritoham te sarotama varam vrinishvima bhatam kama purosmi aham rinam. Sri Bhagavan uvacha prahlada bhadra bhadram te Pritoham te sarotama varam vrinishvabhimatam kamo purosmi aham rinam. Sri Bhagavan uvacha prahlada bhadra bhadram te Pritoham te sarotama varam vrinishvabhimatam kama purosmiham rinam. Sri Bhagavan uvacha paramadra bhadram te Sarotamam Vishwabhimatam Amamusmi Vahamrinam. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Radha Radha Bhadram Te Vitoham Te Sarotama Ram Vinishvabhimatam Kama Parosmiham Rinam. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Radha Bhadram Te Ram Vinishvabhimatam Kama Parosmiham Rinam. Vaishnavis, Prahlada Bhadra Bhadram Te Pritoham Te Sarotama Param Vrinishvabhimatam Kamam Parosmi Aham Rinam. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Prahlada Bhadra Bhadram Te Pritoham te sarotama Kama parosmi aham rinam. Sri Bhagavan uvacha The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Prahlada, O my dear Prahlad, Bhadra, You are so gentle. Bhadram, all good fortune. Te, unto you. Pritaha, pleased. Aham, I am. Te, unto you. Asura Uttama, O best devotee in the family of Asuras. Atheist. Varam, benediction. Vrnishva, just ask from me. Abhimatam, desired. Kama Puraha, who fulfills everyone's desires. Asmi, am. Aham, I. Nrinam, of all men. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Prahlad, most gentle one, best of the family of the Asuras, all good fortune unto you. I am very much pleased with you. It is my pastime to fulfill the desires of all living beings. And therefore, you may ask from me any benediction that you desire to be fulfilled." Please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Prahlad, most gentle one, best of the family of the Asuras, all good fortune unto you. I am very much pleased with you. It is my pastime to fulfill the desires of all living beings, and therefore you must ask from me any benedictions that you desire to be fulfilled." Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Bhaktivatsala, the Supreme Personality who is very much affectionate to His devotees. It is not very extraordinary that the Lord offered His devotees all benedictions. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, in effect, quote, "I fulfill the desires of everyone. Since you are my devotee, whatever you want for yourself will naturally be given. But if you pray for anyone else, that prayer will also be fulfilled." End quote. Thus, if we approach the Supreme Lord or His devotee, or if we are blessed by a devotee, naturally, we will automatically achieve the benediction of the Supreme Lord. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that if one pleases the Vaishnav spiritual master, all of one's desires will be fulfilled. Omi Gyanatimarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gunave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this verse, Lord Krishna, in the form of Lord Nisringadev, is finally speaking. You know, sometimes we see in, you know, some film or some play, you know, the other characters will be speaking, and then finally the main character speaks. It's a big event. So this is a big event here in this chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We've been hearing the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj one after another. And Yeah, there's been so many activities that have taken place in this whole pastime, and now Lord Nrsimhadev is speaking. Sri Bhagavan Vacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, speaks. And he addresses Prahlad Maharaj as Asura Uttama, the best of the Asuras. So, yeah, this shows that a devotee of the Supreme Lord's position is not determined by birth. One can, of course, it's a very fortunate thing if one can be born in the family of suras or devotees of the Lord. But even if one is born in the family of asuras, you know, those who are either atheist or addicted to sinful activities, according to the Vedic standard, one can still come to the highest platform. Apichet sudaracharo. What's the second line? Apichet. So, even if, you know, one is, you know, born in a sinful family or has performed sinful activities, if one properly situates oneself in relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can come to the highest position. So, you know, we've all been offered that opportunity of whether we've been, even if we've been born in families of those who would be considered, according to the Vedic standard, asuras. So Prahlad is exemplary in that way. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says the Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Bhakta Vatsal, which means he's very much affectionate to his devotees, very much inclined to his devotees. So devotee means bhakta, and vatsal means affectionate. So this is one of Krishna's major names, Bhakta Vatsal. And several places in his purports and talks and lectures, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that we do not hear Lord Krishna addressed as Karmi Vatsal or Jnani Vatsal or even Yogi Vatsal. He's especially inclined to his devotees. He's not inclined so much to those who are just performing fruitive activities, trying to increase their material sense gratification to the maximum extent possible. You can, you know, we see out in the world, you know, there are people who, by their expert material activities, acquire, you know, huge amounts of wealth and power. You know, we can see, you know, there are young entrepreneurs who have established, you know, companies like Google and Facebook, and they get billions of dollars even as very young people, you know, through their expert activities and perhaps the results of past karma. And but Krishna is not particularly impressed with that. It's like in the case of, you know, Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu had, by his activities, become very powerful. He conquered the whole universe. But Krishna was not very much impressed with that. But Prahlad, the little boy who was devoted to him in all circumstances, he was impressed with that. Bhaktivatsal, he's very affectionate to his devotees. So Krishna is not karmi vatsala. Neither is he jnani vatsala. There are personalities who, by the exercise of their intelligence, become very powerful and influential. They get Nobel Prizes. Everyone knows their name. There's Einstein. In the modern day, Hawking. There are so many people who, by the expert application of their intelligence, become great jnanis, philosophers, scientists. But Krishna is not impressed. Or some people, they may become very great yogis, but again, Krishna is not impressed. It says, Yoginam api sarvesham mankatena antaratmana shradavan bhajate yo mam same yuktatamo mataha. Now, if somebody becomes a bhakti yogi, then, Krishna becomes a little bit inclined towards them and pleased with them. It says, all yogis, one who worships me with loving devotion is the best of all. And, of course, if somebody becomes a great scholar for establishing the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the world of science or literature, then that is also, Krishna will become inclined towards such a devotee. There have been devotees like our Srila Prabhupada, Jiva Goswami, so many great Vaishnavacharyas have made wonderful literary contributions to the world, not for their own fame, but for the fame of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Krishna appreciates that. And of course, even those who are inclined towards karma, towards fruit of activity, if they use their accumulated wealth for the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, again, Krishna becomes very pleased with that. You can see there is Ambarish Prabhu, disciple of Srila Prabhupada. It's Alfred Ford. He had some accumulated wealth. He's employed it in Krishna's service in an exemplary way to build the Temple of Vedic Planetarium in Mayapur. So, but what Krishna is attracted to is the devotion. Bhaktya mam avijananti yavanyaschasmi tatvataha. Tato mam tatvato gyatva vishate tadanantaram. Krishna says, only by devotional service can I be known, can I be pleased. And when one is perfectly situated in devotional service, then such a person becomes qualified to enter into my personal association. And this is what we're striving for. Everybody in the world, wants to belong to some group. There are, and then, people Yeah, they may want to be part of some political party. They want to be part of some group. But it's for their own sense gratification, really. Or, you know, they want to be part of some group of musicians. You know, there's so many groups of musicians, and they have big meetings to give each other awards. You know, filmmakers, actors, you know, they have their Academy Awards and this and that. They praise each other. And so everybody wants to be part of some group and accepted and recognized in some group. But usually it's for the purpose of sense gratification. There are leaders and followers in these groups. But, you know, Srila Prabhupada has said in some of his purports that both the leaders and the followers, they're simply interested in their own sense gratification. So it's just like, you know, creating a lot of noise. You know, what will be the ultimate result of it? Both the leaders and the followers, you know, the fans and the artists, the voters and the politicians, you know, they'll just remain in the cycle of birth and death. So it's like a lot of noise, but with no real result, no real positive result. So somehow or other, we have found ourselves, found our way into a group, the group of Krishna's devotees that will give some real result in terms of becoming freed from the cycle of birth and death, developing our original personal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and qualifying ourselves to enter into His eternal association. So, for anybody who takes up that, who becomes part of the group of bhaktas, bhaktins, Krishna becomes very affectionate towards them. I was reading how this demon Bhamasura, you know, he kidnapped 16,000 princesses, kept them imprisoned in a cave. And yeah, they were hoping to be delivered by Krishna, and eventually Krishna came and freed them from their captivity. You know, just like recently, people have been very upset that in Ohio, what is that city? Cincinnati, Ohio, there was this man who kidnapped three girls, kept them imprisoned, and used them for his sense gratification. But this Bhamasura had captured 16,000 young women, princesses, and kept them locked away for his sense gratification. But Krishna freed them. And when Krishna freed them, he said, okay, now you're free. You can go back home. But they said, how can we go back home to our fathers? It's, according to the Vedic culture, there's certain standards, not very much like the standards in society today. But the standard was that if a girl, a young woman, had spent any time, you know, away from the protection of her father and brother, or then nobody would want to marry her. These days it doesn't make any difference in, you know, present society. People can, you know, have been here and there. Doesn't make any difference. But in that society, there was this attitude. So the princesses, they expressed this to Krishna. Yeah, at first he just thought, okay, I freed them. Great. But then they said, no, you know, who will have us as their wife now, you know, that we've been in this situation? So Krishna asked them, what do you want me to do? And they said, we'd like you to become our husband. So because Krishna is Bhaktivatsal, he fulfilled their desires and they all became his queens in the city of Dwarka. So there's so many accounts like that of how Krishna is Bhaktivatsal, in the story of Sudama Brahmana, his classmate in the Gurukula, who was a poor Brahmin, and Krishna, you know, gave him a benediction as well. So of course Srila Prabhupada says in the purport here, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that if one pleases the Vaishnava spiritual master, all one's desires will be fulfilled. Because, you know, Krishna, you know, makes this point. Krishna's arranged things so that for, you know, the general procedure is that to please him, one must please his devotee, his representative. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati kutopi. If one pleases Krishna's representative, the spiritual master, then one is properly situated. Here we can see so many examples of that are given where somebody offends their spiritual master or devotee, they suffer some bad result because of their offense. Like Indra, you know, disrespected his spiritual master, Rigupati, the spiritual master, the demigods. And because of that, he lost his position. You know, the demigods were defeated by the demons. So Srila Prabhupada is saying here that if one pleases the Vaishnava spiritual master, all of one's desires will be fulfilled. So, I mean, we may wonder, what does that mean? Krishna will fulfill desires that help one advance towards the ultimate goal of pure devotional service. And we may have so many desires that aren't helpful for that, and Krishna, out of his mercy, doesn't fulfill such desires. Like, yeah, we may be thinking, well, if I had so much wealth, you know, I'd be able to spread Krishna consciousness more effectively. People would take me more seriously if I was a millionaire or a billionaire. So we might think like that and make some plan like that. And if that actually would help one rise to the platform of pure devotional service and would be beneficial for the spreading of Krishna consciousness in the world, then Krishna might let that happen. in many cases, Krishna isn't pleased with that. He doesn't really see it as necessary or helpful for the advancement of either the individual devotee or the Krishna consciousness movement. So, doesn't happen. Or Krishna may fulfill a desire that we have that really isn't helpful for us, but he'll fulfill it in such a way that it removes the desire. But if it's something that will help us advance towards pure devotional service and will be helpful for spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, then Krishna may allow it. I mean, there's one verse where Krishna explains, I'm trying to remember exactly where it was, that it would be a foolish master who would satisfy the desire of the servant, you know, that wouldn't be helpful really for the servant. That would be a very foolish master. So Krishna, because he's Bhaktivatsal, I mean, we may have so many desires that we pray to Krishna to fulfill, you know, either directly or indirectly, but because Krishna is Bhaktivatsal, he decides what, you know, desires he's going to fulfill and what desires he's not going to fulfill in the way that helps us advance towards the platform of pure devotional service. So I'll stop there. Any questions, comments? Swadas Prabhu.
Thank you for a very wonderful class. My question is that, you know, as a normal devotee in Krishna consciousness, and, you know, they want to please Krishna, and sometimes they may think, well, I like to do this for Krishna, or I'd like to do that for Krishna. Sometimes we find that the spiritual masters in Krishna consciousness really don't give a direct instruction. Like, for instance, when we were here and Prabhupada was present, he would give so many direct instructions how to please him. And today in Krishna consciousness, we find that by our reading and by association, we find that we want to please Srila Prabhupada. He's the acharya. He's actually the acharya of the ISKCON movement. So should these younger devotees, should they accept instruction of, like, let's say, a shiksha guru, or even for that matter, their spiritual master? And if so, what if it's a little bit different from what Srila Prabhupada wanted us to do? So my point is, where do we find out what we should be doing? Should we, you know, really take instruction from a shiksha guru? If they say, no, you must do this, and then they get, like, irritated and disturbed, and think, well, who are you? What are you to me? So I'm just trying to just kind of expound on your what you were saying in class and your idea. And how does a junior devotee make spiritual advancement? And how do they how will they develop the understanding or the motivation to please the acharya, Srila Prabhupada?
Tandara Charana Seve Bhaktisani Vas. It's said that one has to serve the guru or gurus, the acharyas, in, you know, the association of devotees. And Krishna places one in certain association. Even in, you know, the spiritual world, there's organization. Say, like, you may be thinking, well, I want to be a gopi or a cowherd boy. If you get that position, what you will find is you're put into a group of gopis. And these things are explained in, you know, some of the literatures of the Goswamis. And there will be leaders there that manage the affairs of that group. And there may be several groups, but each group has its leader and sub-leaders and leaders in training and followers. You know, these things are explained. So in the society of devotees, we may have a desire to do something, but the very first thing we have to learn how to do is do it in a mood of service. So getting that service mentality may require that we perform menial service under the direction of the spiritual master or the spiritual master's representatives. And each society of devotees has its particular structure, set of relationships between devotees who are in positions of leadership. But what does leader mean? Leader means you're a servant. You're a servant. You know, the servant of the servant of the servant. But every society of devotees has its system. And I, you know, even in my, you know, particular case, you know, I had some desires to serve Krishna by writing. And, you know, I had my idea in the beginning how I wanted to do that, which was not very good because it was basically selfishly motivated. And, you know, I expressed this to my authorities, you know, temple presence. Srila Prabhupada was my spiritual master, but, you know, I wasn't in the position that, you know, I, you know, could call him up on the telephone or something and ask him what he personally wanted me to do. But I understood that he had his representatives. So, you know, I was in that situation. So I asked my temple president. He said, well, that's good, but, you know, you should learn to be a servant first, you know, because if we're trying to do something and it's not in the motives, we may think, I want to do this, I want to do that for Krishna, but it may not be that our motive is so pure. It may be. So it's sometimes good to learn to be a servant. And then Krishna may, through his authorities, give us assignments that may relate to our particular desire to serve. But the main thing is to be a servant. And everything that's going on in the Krishna consciousness movement is service to Srila Prabhupada. And he outlined what services he wanted performed in this movement. Book distribution, deity worship, prasadam distribution, harinam, sankirtan. So many services are there. And yeah, one has to, so it's a, I mean, these are things that are constantly being discussed in our movement. You know, the different lines of authority, you know, the line of authority coming from the Diksha Guru, the lines of authority coming through the GBC that Srila Prabhupada set up and advised to be the Shiksha Gurus of the whole society. So, Archita Prabhu.
I want to thank Subhas for his question. It's very, very relevant. I'm sure he knows all the answers. He's just trying to to get us all a little hot under the collar, I guess. But even though we're not a strict Varnashram society, certain duties should be obvious based on your Varna and your Ashram. For instance, as much as Subhas is into book distribution, I'm sure if a young householder with a wife and two kids came to him and said, you know, Prabhu, I want your blessings to go traveling for 6 months. He may not tell him, no, you have to stay home and take care of, you know, just for instance, we have our acreage. And he's got a wife and two kids, he's the warehouse manager. If he went to Subhas tomorrow and said, I just want to leave them and go traveling for 6 months, I don't think Subhas would say yes. You know, so some things are obvious based on your Varna and your Ashram, things that you have to do. And beyond that, the finer points of things that you may want to do, that you should discuss with authorities. But, you know, we mentioned Shiksha Gurus. It's a very serious thing. It's not that you just rubber stamp somebody as your Shiksha Guru, you go and discuss something with them and then go away and do whatever you want to do. If you really accept somebody as your Shiksha Guru, it means you're going to present your ideas and your problems to them and you are then going to be willing to accept whatever guidance to give you. If you're not in that mood, we were just discussing yesterday, myself and Omkar, if you're not in that mood, then don't disturb them. It's just a disturbance to approach somebody and discuss something and then not take their advice. It's a disturbance. If you're not willing to take advice, don't discuss your problem.
Okay, over, and this will be the last, and then we'll,
yeah. In this Vaishnav etiquette class that I took once and I try to teach, it says that the guru's god brothers should be respected with the same level of respect as one's guru. And so, but then on the other hand, if you decide, well, I want to take shiksha from this god brother of my guru, you should approach your guru first and ask, is this a harmonious relationship? You know, is this something that's going to be, that those god brothers have a good relationship and that they're in agreement upon what, you know, so that takes a lot of discipline upon everybody's part.
Yeah, that's the proper etiquette, as you've explained it, yes. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.